Blog Talk Radio.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Somebody's coming up the stairs.
He must be really popular.
Hello, what brings you here? They probably want to see the Rodfather. Everybody wants to talk to the Rodfather.
I would like to speak to the Rodfather. Is he available?
Blog Talk Radio.
I want to talk about how many of us develop resentment when we compare ourselves to others who we think are successful. Approval addicts find themselves measuring their accomplishments against those of other people. Our concern for what others think about us inevitably leads us to shade the truth. This happens so often. The psychologists say many of us suffer from a syndrome sometimes called the imposter phenomenon. We know the truth about ourselves and the image we project. Many people go through life with fear that one day the truth will come out. When we crave approval too strongly, we come to resent the very person whose approval we seek. We don't want our sense of well-being to rest in their hands. So even as we long to receive approval, there is an enormously helpful practice for gaining freedom from this addiction. It doesn't get much attention as a spiritual discipline, but it is one and is in fact recommended by Jesus himself. It is what we might call the practice of secrecy. Jesus spoke of doing good deeds and making sure that no one finds out about them. His examples involve fasting, praying, and giving money. When you give money, don't make sure everybody notices. But the point of Jesus is that we are prone to try to impress others by our very nature. We don't hire marching bands, but we blow our own horns all the time. Sometimes a strategically raised eyebrow can do the trick. Jesus said, "When you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." The command is not quite so easily to dismiss. Jesus' point is that true spiritual maturity means we don't feel the need to congratulate ourselves because we've gotten something right. We come to see that it really is better to give than to receive. Giving no longer looks extraordinary to us now. It just looks sane. It seems like the natural thing to do. When Jesus said to do these things in secret, he was not making a law binding for all times and places. He often gave himself to prayer in the front of his friends. Also, King David gave explicit details about how much he gave for the building of the temple, and one result was that his subjects were motivated to give generously as well. Rather, Jesus was giving advice to people who had a problem that could hinder their pursuit of spiritual life. Jesus prefaced his instructions by announcing who would benefit most from them. Beware practicing your giving, your fasting, before others in order to be seen by them. liberate those who are trapped by the desire to be seen, to impress others. The look at me spirit. Here's this practice in a nutshell. Every once in a while, do something good and try to make sure no one finds out about it. We can give up the whole business of trying to convince them that our motives are pure or that our life is in better shape than it seems. There's a technique for this habit. It's called impression management. If we take notice, we will see that the vast amount of what we say generally includes a great deal of impression management. For instance, if we tell someone about a television program, we may preface our report with a disclaimer, "I don't watch much TV, but the other night," so on and so on. Why do we do this? How much television we watch has nothing to do with what we are about to say. So why do we throw in that information? This is merely an exercise in impression management. You see, we do it because if we don't, the listener might think we just sit around eating and watching sitcoms. And of course, it's unbearable that someone might think that about us. So we fill off the disclaimer to make sure the other person is thinking rightly about us. To make sure the other person is thinking about us in the way we want to be thought of. But if we choose to impress people by making sure they know of our generosity, the nature of our actions changes. We settle for the narcotic of approval. Instead of becoming a little more free, we become a little more enslaved. We do things to impress, instead of doing them just to do them. Sometimes when we pray, we may have an intimate experience of being held by God, or a particularly vivid sense of Him speaking to us, or a vivid sense of His speaking to us. It may be a very good thing to keep this to ourselves, between God and us. To talk about such things too much changes the nature of the experience. Instead of being a gift from God, it becomes one more weapon in our arsenal to impress people. There may be a certain occasion when it is especially important for us to practice secrecy, or certain persons with whom we want to exercise it. Acts of servanthood done to impress others lose their power to help us enter the life of the kingdom. Receiving praise gracefully without becoming an addict requires a well-ordered heart. You see, if we're not careful, one moment we want to hear from God. The next, we want to use what we've heard to impress people with how spiritual we are. The purpose of knowing Scripture is not to help us get a 100% score on the heavenly entrance exam. It is to help us become equipped for good work. This makes me think about being double-minded. If we want to be saved from double-mindedness, we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. An indispensable practice is to have our minds reformed by immersing them in Scripture. The psalmist writes of hiding God's word in our hearts that we might not sin. So how do we read the Bible in a way that will purify our hearts and help us live as Jesus would in our place? We can start by looking at the metaphor from the Bible itself. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, telling the husbands to love their wives, he used this analogy. Just as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her in order to make her holy by cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. so as to present the church to himself in splendor, without a spot or wrinkle or anything of the kind. Yes, so that she may be holy and without blemish. We who are born again are washed by the word of God. What does this mean? By contrast, think of what happens when something does get washed. Soap and water moves through the fibers of the dirty fabric. At the deepest level, lifting out the impurities and removing them. Only after the washing can we see the fabric in the state for which it was originally designed. You see, the sin nature wants to make us a slave to it. The solution lies in God's word, which tells us to bring our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We have plenty of thoughts that make slaves out of us through fear, hatred, envy, jealousy. This is very important, what I'm about to say, and we all must learn this. Hearing God speak to us is no indication that we are somehow unusually spiritual or mature or important. God is able to communicate with whomever he chooses. Whether you're deep, whether you're in the pulpit, whomever you are, preacher, bishop, apostle, it does not matter. You know, in scripture, God spoke through an ass. God can speak to whom he will. You see, God did not create people in his own image for passivity. He is not a passive God. When we face important decisions, we must pray, seek guidance, and exercise judgment, wisdom, and initiative, choice, and responsibility. God bless you. This is Roderick Owensby.
Somebody's coming up the stairs.
God, he must be really popular. The Rock Father.
They probably want to see the Rock Father. Everybody wants to talk to the Rock Father.
I would like to speak to the Rock Father. Is he available?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Somebody's coming up the stairs.
Oh, he must be really popular.
Hello, what brings you here? They probably want to see the Rodfather. Everybody wants to talk to the Rodfather.
I would like to speak to the Rodfather. Is he available?
Blog Talk Radio.
I want to talk about how many of us develop resentment when we compare ourselves to others who we think are successful. Approval addicts find themselves measuring their accomplishments against those of other people. Our concern for what others think about us inevitably leads us to shade the truth. This happens so often. As psychologists say, many of us suffer from a syndrome sometimes called the imposter phenomenon. We know the truth about ourselves and the image we project. Many people go through life with fear that one day the truth will come out. When we crave approval too strongly, we come to resent the very person whose approval we seek. We don't want our sense of well-being to rest in their hands. So even as we long to receive approval, there is an enormously helpful practice for gaining freedom from this addiction. It doesn't get much attention as a spiritual discipline, but it is one and is in fact recommended by Jesus himself. It is what we might call the practice of secrecy. Jesus spoke of doing good deeds and making sure that no one finds out about them. His examples involve fasting, praying, and giving money. When you give money, don't make sure everybody notices. But the point of Jesus is that we are prone to try to impress others by our very nature. We don't hire marching bands, but we blow our own horns all the time. Sometimes a strategically raised eyebrow can do the trick. Jesus said, when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. The command is not quite so easily to dismiss. Jesus' point is that true spiritual maturity means we don't feel the need to congratulate ourselves because we've gotten something right. We come to see that it really is better to give than to receive. Giving no longer looks extraordinary to us now. It just looks sane. It seems like the natural thing to do. When Jesus said to do these things in secret, he was not making a law binding for all times and places. He often gave himself to prayer in the front of his friends. Also, King David gave explicit details about how much he gave for the building of the temple, and one result was that his subjects were motivated to give generously as well. Rather, Jesus was giving advice to people who had a problem that could hinder their pursuit of spiritual life. Jesus prefaced his instructions by announcing who would benefit most from them. Beware practicing your giving, your fasting, before others in order to be seen by them. Liberate those who are trapped by the desire to be seen, to impress others. The look at me spirit. Here's this practice in a nutshell. Every once in a while, do something good and try to make sure no one finds out about it. we can give up the whole business of trying to convince them that our motives are pure or that our life is in better shape than it seems. There's a technique for this habit. It's called impression management. If we take notice, we will see that the vast amount of what we say generally includes a great deal of impression management. For instance, if we tell someone about a television program, we may preface our report with a disclaimer, "I don't watch much TV, but the other night," so on and so on. Why do we do this? How much television we watch has nothing to do with what we are about to say. So why do we throw in that information? This is merely an exercise in impression management. You see, we do it because if we don't, the listener might think we just sit around eating and watching sitcoms. And of course, it's unbearable that someone might think that about us. So we fill off the disclaimer to make sure the other person is thinking rightly about us. To make sure the other person is thinking about us in the way we want to be thought of. But if we choose to impress people by making sure they know of our generosity, the nature of our actions changes. We settle for the narcotic of approval. Instead of becoming a little more free, we become a little more enslaved. And we do things to impress instead of doing them just to do them. Sometimes when we pray, we may have an intimate experience of being held by God, or a particularly vivid sense of Him speaking to us, or a vivid sense of His speaking to us. It may be a very good thing to keep this to ourselves, between God and us. To talk about such things too much changes the nature of the experience. Instead of being a gift from God, it becomes one more weapon in our arsenal to impress people. There may be a certain occasion when it is especially important for us to practice secrecy, or certain persons with whom we want to exercise it. Acts of servanthood done to impress others lose their power to help us enter the life of the kingdom. Receiving praise gracefully without becoming an addict requires a well-ordered heart. You see, if we're not careful, one moment we want to hear from God. The next, we want to use what we've heard to impress people with how spiritual we are. The purpose of knowing Scripture is not to help us get a 100% score on the heavenly entrance exam. It is to help us become equipped for good work. This makes me think about being double-minded. If we want to be saved from double-mindedness, we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. An indispensable practice is to have our minds reformed by immersing them in Scripture. The psalmist writes of hiding God's word in our hearts that we might not sin. So how do we read the Bible in a way that will purify our hearts and help us live as Jesus would in our place? We can start by looking at the metaphor from the Bible itself. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, telling the husbands to love their wives, he used this analogy. Just as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her in order to make her holy by cleansing her with the washing of water by the word, so as to present the church to himself in splendor, without a spot or wrinkle, or anything of the kind, yes, so that she may be holy and without blemish. We who are born again are washed by the word of God. What does this mean? By contrast, think of what happens when something does get washed. Soap and water moves through the fibers of the dirty fabric. At the deepest level, lifting out the impurities and removing them. Only after the washing can we see the fabric in the state for which it was originally designed. You see, the sin nature wants to make us a slave to it. The solution lies in God's word, which tells us to bring our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We have plenty of thoughts that make slaves out of us through fear, hatred, envy, jealousy. This is very important, what I'm about to say, and we all must learn this. Hearing God speak to us is no indication that we are somehow unusually spiritual or mature or important. God is able to communicate with whomever he chooses. Whether you're deep, whether you're in the pulpit, whomever you are, preacher, bishop, apostle, it does not matter. You know, in scripture, God spoke through an ass. God can speak to whom he will. You see, God did not create people in his own image for passivity. He is not a passive God. When we face important decisions, we must pray, seek guidance, and exercise judgment, wisdom, and initiative, choice, and responsibility. God bless you. This is Roderick Owensby.
Somebody's coming up the stairs.
Oh, he must be really popular. The Rock Father.
They probably want to see the Rock Father. Everybody wants to talk to the Rock Father.
I would like to speak to the Rock Father. Is he available?
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening to the Roderick Owensby Show, nightly Eastern Time, with your host being Comparable Rodfather. Be blessed and good night.